Father, as we come this morning to honor you and to honor the name of your Son, and as we think back to what you have done and why you sent your Son, because we were in a helpless condition that we could not help, and it was your plan that the whole world hear this message, the message of the gospel, even as our brother Paul wrote and said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And we know that it is still, at this Christmas time in 2012, it is still your will that your word should go to the further reaches of it. And so we pray this morning, even as we have our good times surrounding the Christmas holiday and the Christmas celebration, that we will not forget really the true meaning of it, certainly, and that we will not forget all of those who really, I guess those who haven't heard, practically outnumber those who have. And dear Heavenly Father, that you would strengthen our hands in days to come, that we ourselves might be, Lord, more diligent about getting your word out, both here in our immediate vicinity and also to those other places where they have yet to hear. May we never forget it is your will that all should come to repentance and that all should have a personal knowledge of our Savior. So we just pray, even as we celebrate, that these things will still be foremost in our minds. Speak to us today. Speak to us not only about what we ought to be doing today, but what we should be doing in this coming year. Take now your word and use it in our hearts, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. This might not be exactly what you expect to hear two Sundays before Christmas, but having come from a missions background, it's never far from the heart. And I just think that as God's people, we need to keep our perspective. Christmas is certainly a wonderful time, and I don't want to take away from it in any way, but there are millions out there that have yet to hear. And I just think God would say to us, even as you celebrate this happy season, think of those who haven't heard. Pray for those who haven't heard, and give so that those who haven't heard can hear. So it's been about 2,000 years now since the angel first delivered that glorious news to some shepherds on the hills outside of Bethlehem. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And here we are 20 centuries later, and we still celebrate the Lord's birth. And we still rejoice in God's wonderful gift of salvation in the person of His Son. We look forward to Christmas every year. And we spend large amounts of time, energy, and resources celebrating the Savior's birth. However, meanwhile, around the world, millions continue in their darkness and have not heard even one that God loves them so much that He sent His Son to give them life. They continue in their darkness, in their hopelessness, in their superstitions, and in their bondage to sin. While we trim our trees and string our lights, these folks continue in their bondage unaware of the one who has come to deliver them and set them free. While we attend Christmas plays and pageants, whole tribes are still waiting for someone to bring them the gospel. While we proclaim the Savior's birth, many of them live in constant fear of demonic powers. While we sing Silent Night, they are doing enchantments to keep evil spirits away. While we sing of the one who came to save us, they're consulting witch doctors and mediums. While we do our Christmas shopping, dozens of missions agencies ponder how they can do more with less and which Bible translation projects may have to be put on hold. And they wonder how many of the missionaries that they sponsor will be able to raise their support this year. While we drive through the local neighborhoods admiring the Christmas lights and displays, mobs of angry people in the Middle East riot in the streets with clenched fists and contorted faces, thinking that they are doing God's will. And in the Far East, people still bow to Buddha and burn incense to their ancestors because they do not know the hope of Christ. And the cries of those passing into eternity remain unheard by us because they are so far away. They remain unknown to us because we are oblivious. They go unheeded because we are too distracted with today's preparations. It is sobering to realize that even as our children open their gifts this Christmas morning, little babies will be delivered all over the world, many of whom will never once hear the name of the one who came to save them. Closer to home, millions will party wildly during the Christmas season and awake the next day with a hangover. Others will overdose on drugs, and some will take their lives. And during the holiday season, thousands of little babies will have their lives snuffed out in hospitals and abortion clinics around our country because their mothers neither understand the value of life nor have they come to know Christ in a personal way. Prostitution will still thrive. The drug trade will still flourish. Gangs will still do their thing. Home invasions and thefts will proliferate. Domestic violence will continue to abound. Murders will still make the news. And hundreds will die on the battlefields of the world as politicians scramble to defuse the latest crisis or crises. Folks, this world needs Christ. And after Christmas, we'll take down our lights. Trees will go back in their boxes or out to the curb. Toys will clutter closets and floors. Christmas leftovers will clog our refrigerators and become part of meal planning. And in about a year, the cycle will repeat all over. We'll have some good Christmas memories, hopefully, some photographs perhaps, and some good things to tell from the events and activities of this Christmas. But those who haven't heard will still not have heard. And those who are lost will still be lost. And the unfunded missionaries will still be unfunded. And those awaiting them will still be waiting. And those without Bible portions in their language will still be without until someone comes to help them. And those people you know that still aren't saved will still be unsaved and in need of someone, hopefully you, to minister to them. We celebrate Christ's birth at Christmas time, but Christ didn't come just for Christmas or even primarily for Christmas. Did you know that Christmas was not celebrated by the earliest Christians and that it didn't really begin to emerge until the 4th century? We celebrate his birth at Christmas, but Christ himself is for all seasons. After the Christmas season is over, life goes on, and we face problems every day, problems that we need help, strength, and direction for. Furthermore, even as believers, we have personal issues to work through, areas where we need to grow spiritually or just as people, and we need the Lord's help daily in these processes as well. Furthermore, there are many prayer needs that need to be addressed, needs that only the Lord himself can meet. And he is the intercessor to our Father so that our prayers get heard. But it, you see, it is Christ himself that makes the difference, not the observance of the season. You can have growing, thriving churches and believers without ever celebrating Christmas. But no matter how much you celebrate Christmas, nobody will ever cross over the line from hell-bound to heaven-bound until they encounter the Christ of Christmas. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And so it's fine to celebrate Christmas, but let's keep it evangelistic and let's go just beyond the fact of his birth, because his birth is the incarnation and that had to happen, and it's a very important part of the story. But our sins weren't paid for and we weren't redeemed until he shed his blood on that cross and subsequently rose again. And so the world needs the whole story. Christmas is a wonderful introduction to it, but the world needs the Christ of Christmas. Everything in its context. Christmas teaches us about the coming of Christ and who he is and why he came and how the Word became flesh. But make no mistake, only Christ himself can transform a life. No one is saved by observing Christmas. And when we go to peoples that have never heard, we don't go there for the purpose of teaching them how to observe Christmas or to teach them the traditions of what for many of us is our favorite holiday. No, we go to introduce them to Christ himself. The one who died for them on the cross, the one who shed his blood, the one who became God's perfect offering for sin, the one who after 3 days and three nights rose from the dead, the one who ascended on high and took his place at the Father's side to intercede for us, the one who sets us free from every sin, heals every disease and makes us whole, the one who restores us to fellowship with the Father, the firstborn from among the dead, that he might impart to us eternal life, the one who freely gives the Holy Spirit, that we might live victorious lives in him, the one who is coming again for us soon, and who will share his glory with us, and even his authority with us, the one who said he would always be at our side and never leave us, the one who said he is preparing a place for us and is going to take us to be with him forever. Friends, I'm not saying we shouldn't celebrate Christmas. I'm not saying we shouldn't be joyful at Christmas. We obviously should. And I thought it was wonderful that some of our children were out front singing carols this morning. How many got to see that on your way in? Wasn't that wonderful? And yes, we should do all these things. I'm not saying we should not. But what I am saying is that even as we celebrate Christmas, let's not forget why Jesus came. He came for the lost and the dying. He came for those who have never heard. He came for the hurting and the sin sick, the brokenhearted, the bound, the oppressed, and the forgotten. He came for the lost. He said it isn't those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. He said the Son of Man came to save that which was lost. So Christian friend, celebrate Christmas and enjoy it, but bear in mind that Christ is for all seasons. Every day, every hour, every second of every minute of every day, and that he is the only solution for mankind's deepest and most urgent need. Keep in constant view those you know who still need Christ as Savior, as well as the millions around the world that have never heard. And when the holidays is over, it's time to roll up our sleeves and be ready to go to work as we never have before. Whether it's Awana, whether it's those children you teach downstairs, whether it's a neighborhood outreach, whatever it may be, it is time to go to work, because there is still a lot of work to do, and perhaps not a whole lot of time in which to do it. Millions, including many you know in your own circle of friends, still do not know the Savior. Determine in your heart that this year is going to be a year of redoubled effort in spreading the Word of God, both here at home and abroad. Prepare to start losing your life for His sake, that you might find it. Purpose to give more to missions than you've ever done before, and to assist with renewed vigor and dedication in spreading the gospel to places where it's never gone before. And if we'll do this, I think next Christmas we'll be better ready to celebrate it than we've ever been. And I think we'll be able to celebrate it with more joy than we ever have. Jesus is about people. And in the end, it's individual. And He came that we individually might have life. That's our central truth at Christmas. It's also our central truth for the whole year. Shall we pray? Father, we come to You today and we think of all the resources that are spent on Christmas. How much time is spent just finding that one right gift? And I know our motives are good, but Lord, I think if we had the money that is spent on all these trees and things every year, how many Bibles would that print? How many missionaries would that send? And how many additional people might come to know the Savior just because we curtailed a little somewhere so that we could divert a little more to what really matters. We talked this morning in our class that little saying, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And in the end, that's all that's going to matter. So, Lord, today we come, and if we've been excessive in some areas, we repent of that. If we've been neglectful in some areas, we repent of that. And Lord, we pray for those who are carrying Your word in those far-reaching places. We have Bible bookstores in every city and town. We have churches on almost every corner, but there are whole geographical areas that still don't have even one gospel witness. So we pray today, Father, for those who are carrying Your word to those far reaches, who are far from the comforts of home, far from family, far from the things that are dear to them. If they have gone for the same reason Jesus came, out of love, out of a willingness to give of self so that the world might hear, the world might know, and the world might be saved. So, Father, as we celebrate this Christmas, may we do so in the knowledge that it is precisely because Jesus came that there is hope at all, but that we might do everything we can to increase that hope for those who right now have no hope because there is no one to bring them Your word. Thank You for those who have made those sacrifices. And thank You for churches like this one all across this land where people do open their hearts and their pocketbooks so that missionaries can go. And who do pray for those who are carrying Your word. And who do pray for those who have not heard. And who do pray for those closer to home who still don't know You because nobody has ever taken the time to really love them and really explain the gospel to them. So, Lord, help us not to stop observing Christmas, but to begin to do some things maybe we are not doing. And, Lord, thank You for our own salvation. What a gift. but we want as many others to have it as possible. Work in us, Lord. Give us a heart for people. Give us a heart for missions. Give us a heart for personal evangelism, because you want to use us to reach the world with that same glorious message that was announced so long ago on that hillside in Bethlehem. Thank you for sending your Son. You gave your best. You gave your all. May we, Lord, give our all in return, that others may know. We thank you, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.